Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. It's been 60 years since the landmark case on segregation in schools, Brown v. Board of Education. But there are still forces in the nation pushing for a segregation of some sort, under a different name, though, frequently called local control. It's happening now in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where the PBS documentary series Frontline investigates.
But not everyone is happy with how busing has changed the schools here.
What are they doing? Where is their plan to better the schools?
Fed up with what they say are dangerous, failing, and mismanaged schools, a group of residents has come up with a radical plan.
The line actually comes down here because he was a city council.
They've begun a movement to form an entirely new city out of a large area of suburban neighborhoods, taking part of the East Baton Rouge Parish school system with them.
You know, thank you for coming out tonight. I see these children here. That's why we're here. These children right here are why we're here. EBR has failed our children for 30 plus years.
The new city would be called St. George and would be whiter and more affluent than Baton Rouge.
And starting right here with this petition right here, we have the opportunity to make a difference. We can do it. So come on up and sign the petition.
That's from the Frontline investigative report that airs on PBS KLRN in San Antonio tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Do you think school districts should be allowed to break up and have parts secede, neighborhoods call it, start their own school district? It's being talked about also in Dallas with the Dallas ISD and the White Rock ISD is being proposed. We're being joined by Kyle Spencer, who is an education reporter for Frontline. Kyle, welcome to The Source.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
So you go into depth, you bring us inside what's happening into Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So this St. George, is that an incorporated, that's incorporated part of Baton Rouge and they want to break off?
So St. George is actually an unincorporated part of that particular area and of the city of Baton Rouge. They, however, have been, up until now, and they still are, part of the East Baton Rouge School District, but are seeking to both incorporate and eventually split from this larger school district.
And so they have a petition drive out and trying to get signatures. How divisive is this? I mean, it sounds like it's probably the most divisive thing. You're trying to divide the city.
Yeah, it's a very, very controversial situation in Baton Rouge, which is one of the reasons why we went there. We wanted to explore this trend that we were seeing around the country, including, as you noted, in your very Texas, in Dallas. Other places that you're seeing this is in Alabama, in Iowa, Tennessee. Other times in Louisiana, you've seen this. And you're also seeing it in California and Pennsylvania and places that this is not just a southern issue. But in Baton Rouge, there is a fight that's going on right now. The folks who want to split feel very strongly about it, and those who want this little community to stay with them are also, you know, very passionate.
So they would lose the bulk of their most property-rich part of the district. So what would happen to the remaining Baton Rouge school district?
Well, I think that the actual numbers are what's most contentious in this issue, how much money will actually leave, what tax base will stay. But what we do know is that St. George, which is a middle-class community, again, sort of on the outskirts of the city, still unincorporated, would also take with it some sprawling, you know, land with houses on it, and is hoping to also take some mall properties, the Mall of Louisiana, which is a very obviously tax-heavy part of the area, and would leave behind, essentially, and I think this is the most controversial part of this move, the inner city, which is consists of smaller homes, a much poorer population, a population that is consists of many more African Americans. And that is, you know, essentially it's looked at as a kind of middle class wanting to get away from the poor and poor students and students of color.
So even though Baton Rouge no longer has enforced busing, it does have a system where students, according to your report that airs on Frontline, do manage to pick schools that they want to attend that may not be their closest neighborhood school. So you have quite a bit of integration happening that way. Now, would that be interrupted?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, what the Baton Rouge School District, as we note in our Frontline piece, is at this point only 11% white, because there have been these other splits, these other separations or secessionist movements that have been successful, and they have taken white students with them. But what we're looking at here is really something that could be sort of devastating, according to the folks that try to move around the district and use magnet schools and other sorts of voluntary busing efforts to create as much integration as possible.
Here we are in the Deep South in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, secession word being thrown around, and people are actually fighting for secession. It's kind of a loaded term. Does it harken back to some bad feelings from 1861?
I don't know. I mean, I think that folks, it's very easy to sort of look at this in, you know, with, you know, in its historical context, and I think extremely important to. I do think that one of the things that's happened there is that parents are really feel that the busing efforts, when they were forced and even now as voluntary, are very flawed, and they have not really integrated the schools as much as they wanted, and they haven't improved the schools.
Right, and so parents, of course, are going to be looking out for their children, and they really want the best for them. You can't fault parents for wanting to do that. But the issue is there are parents who are in the property poor parts of Louisiana. They want the best for their students, as their children as well. And so how are they fighting back?
Well, we featured in our film a woman named Nikki Dangerfield, a single mother, four children. Her daughter is actually was a valedictorian at her high school. She's an African-American mom, lives in a fairly modest part of close to downtown. And she also has one daughter who's done extremely well and is now at Louisiana State University. And she has three other boys. And she has worked really, really hard to get them a decent education. She has enrolled them in magnet schools. She has them on buses in the morning going all over the city. One of them is in a school. He's a very artistic, likes theater, so he's in a theater magnet school. Another of the boys actually needs some services, and so he's in a school where he can get really wonderful services. And then finally, her other son is quite gifted, and she has very high aspirations for him, and she puts him on a bus too, and he goes far to a gifted program. So her fear is that if this community that has some very, very good schools in it leaves, it will limit her options, and it will limit the options of her neighbors. And essentially what she worries is that these parents are sort of taking the best with them.
Right. We're talking with Kyle Spencer. She is an education reporter for Frontline. They have a documentary report that airs tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Talking about the school district where many of the citizens are signing a petition. They want to break off and form their own school district. We invite your calls and questions. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a new Frontline documentary that airs tomorrow night on KLRN at 9 p.m. It says Separate But Unequal, about school district that in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, where there's a petition drive to break off and form a new school district, one that would be more affluent and have less diversity. We invite you to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Do you think school districts should be allowed to break up? Should they have parts secede? It's happening up in Dallas with the Dallas ISD. Do you think that would be something that could happen here in San Antonio? The number is 210-614-8980. Kyle, is the Tea Party, are they part of this?
I don't know how connected the Tea Party is really to this movement. This is such a localized movement, and it's really nonpartisan at this point. It's really more of an issue of this particular community wanting to better its schools and to go back to neighborhood schools or community schools. So I would say that it would be kind of, there is a little, they did have one point in our film, we have this wonderfully, you know, sort of poignant moment where a Tea Party activist is invited to the community in one of the meetings of the breakaway folks to talk and inspire them. And he talks about, you know, the importance of sort of sticking together, doing what's right. He says, do what's right for your pocketbook. So in that sense, yes. In the sense, though, of this being a larger sort of Tea Party movement, no, it's not. But they did find a friend in this extremely vocal and very impassioned Tea Party activist who came to talk.
Well, are people looking at the long-term consequences of breaking up like this in a whole new city, St. George, and then Baton Rouge, and then basically Baton Rouge being... I mean, those people are still there. There's not a wall between the two cities. Mm-mm. And one issue in one community is going to impact the other community. By taking away resources and depriving the Baton Rouge of the ability to improve the standards there, that problem's going to come back to visit St. George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that one of the things that has happened for the folks in the St. George area, the members of this local Schools for Local Children group that speaks in the film, is that they are concerned that their property values are really getting hurt by the fact that they're attached to the East Baton Rouge Parish School District, which is very spotty. 40%, I think it's something like 40% of the schools in the district in recent years have received a D or an F or in their report card. Some of the schools have been taken over by the state. It's hard for them to lure businesses and families to their community to sell their homes when they are attached to this not great school district. So that would be the argument that they would make. And they would say long term, I think, they feel as if they would be better off and their neighborhood, those communities that want to break away would actually really benefit. The inner city Baton Rouge and the folks who would stay behind say, you're really going to hurt us. You're going to take money that our students need, particularly in some of these at-risk schools, and you're going to make it incredibly difficult for us to serve these needy populations. So at one of the events we attended, the mayor, who has really, really fought back on the separation, Mayor Kip Holden, said, we're trying to tell people it's time to stick together. And so his response, as was the response of many of the folks in who want this, do not want this separation, they've said, don't take your money, don't take your students, stay with us. We have a lot of work to do. The district is struggling, but if you leave us, we will be in an awful situation. If you stay long-term, we can make these schools better. We can, you know, try and try.
All right, let's go to the phones. Number is 210-614-8980. If you want to join our conversation, we invite you. David has called in. David, welcome to The Source.
Yes, good afternoon. You make it sound like this is something that isn't here in San Antonio or in Bexar County. In Bexar County, we have the Northside Independent School District, the Northeast Independent School District, the Alamo Heights School District, the San Antonio School District. We've already done this here. And, you know, there's a redundancy. Each school district has bus service. Each school district has its own administration and administrators. There could be such an economy. In New York City, they have the New York City Public School District. In South Florida, they have the Broward County School District. I don't know any other large metropolitan city that's gerrymandered like this already.
All right, David, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. Good points. So, Kyle, he's talking about our local issue where we have, mm-hmm. it's like mm-hmm. 17 local school districts here in Bexar County. Mm-hmm. And so we don't need to break up. They've already broken up. And,
right.
and people
and,
say this is probably because of segregation back in the day that we ended up with school districts like this.
Yeah, and so I think what you're finding, and this is why we caught on to this story right now, is lots of school districts that did this early on. They did this to fight or to prevent DSEG orders to keep from having to bus. their students. Nowadays, you're seeing a kind of return to it. And as a lot of these communities have been lifted from the desegregation orders, which has been happening, you know, around 2005, you started to see this happen in the South, and it's happening more and more as they get released, which is what happened in Baton Rouge. The district split off. They say, now we can do it. Now we can split off. I think we are well aware that this has happened in Texas. You have this. And interestingly enough, to our caller, Texas is one of the places that, I think this is very interesting to Texas viewers, one of the places that the folks who want to break off, that they have found inspiration in your Texas cuts, in your smaller school districts that have left. And when we ask Lionel Rainey, who leads a spokesperson for the group who's in the film and speaks quite eloquently about why they want to do this, he tells us off camera, Texas is what we look to. Texas is what we want to do.
Now, we've seen demographic shifts and people moving into neighborhoods and along racial and class lines. And so you end up with communities, cities like San Antonio, where you have a big neighborhoods where they're higher, more affluent, and you have big neighborhoods where they're not. And then I guess you reach a critical mass where people start to stand up and saying, why are we paying such high property taxes to support parts of the city which aren't paying the same level, but they're getting the same level of services. And so they try to break off, and we're seeing sort of this hyper regionalism locally mm-hmm. here in San Antonio on certain issues. Is that spreading? Is that a trend?
Yeah, and I think that is a great way to talk about it, the hyper regionalism. I think what we found in our research, and we found in Baton Rouge too, that folks they're fed up. They have watched these school districts struggle. They've seen some of these inner city schools that just simply don't get that much better. Baton Rouge has made some gains, it really has, and they're working diligently to improve the schools even more. But the folks who are wanting to break away say your improvements are not happening fast enough. The schools are still underperforming. The kids are not doing well in the tests. They're graduating at low rates. And so we, in our smaller communities, some of our schools are actually okay. We are sick of taking care of these districts with our money, our hard-earned money. And I think that is, to some extent, an understandable for them, because they are frustrated with the slow progress in improving these schools. However, their money is really essential to these schools and are essential to improving them and helping them continue to get better. But the hyper-regionalism is really what we're looking at. How big is your community? How big do you think it should be? If you are a wealthy community and you neighbor a not-so-wealthy community, do you think your dollars should go to help them? And a lot of parents are saying no. I want programs for my kids in my kids' school, and I don't want to pay for programs in a neighboring community school.
Okay, back to the phones. Bennett has called in. Bennett, welcome to The Source.
Yes. Excuse me, Mr. Davies, but I think this discussion you're having is totally artificial, and I'll give you the reason why. I grew up in New York City, where 25% of the people at any given time were immigrants. I went to a school in a totally immigrant community. That school, the discipline was strict. These teachers were strict. Everyone in that school graduated eighth grade. Everyone in that school went to high school and graduated high school, which in those years was a big deal. And most of them went on to college, because New York City had public colleges in those years. Now, what's the fallacy in this whole discussion that you're having is that, one, if people want to get an education, if the kids are shown to have an education, if the parents want their kids to get an education, they will get an education. And if the kids are in a neighborhood where drugs are prevalent or crime is prevalent.
Okay, I think we lost him. But, Bennett, I think we take your point. I think he's going down the lines of personal responsibility, that parents need to make sure that their kids are doing the right thing. Kyle.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that a lot of research has been done, starting in the 70s or in actually late 60s, that has shown that kids who are in poverty-stricken neighborhoods, who are in neighborhoods where parents struggle to work, lots of single-parent households, lots of bad influences, drugs, sort of all of the awful things that come with terrible poverty, that those kids really, really benefit from having exposure to upper-middle-class families, to upper-middle-class students. And that, and so we've seen this, the John Coleman report, which came out in the 60s, showed this, and there has been countless research after that has shown that when kids are isolated in poverty pocket schools, that they perform less well than when they get integrated into schools where they have the benefits of upper middle class students and their families in and around the school.
Okay, so Kyle, let me ask you real quick because we're running out of time. So where are we on this petition and election? I see that they're about 1,000 signatures short or so to get the petition.
They're about 1,000 signatures short. They are going strong. There has been some discussion about whether or not they can really annex this property, the entirety of the property. There's been some move in the state government to prevent them from annexing a large mall that they want to take.
Right.
It is really up for grabs.
All right, Kyle, we'll be following it, and it's on tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on KLRN, the Frontline. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.